Hello, and good afternoon, Roaring Fork Valley. Guess what? And you know it too. Snow. It's sitting on our peaks. It was a beautiful dusting. But most important, we had a good, healthy rain that has wet our pastures and causing our rivers to be flowing more. And it smells good out there. Definitely does. Oh, this is Diane Johnson from Senior Matters, if you don't already know that. And Senior Matters, let me tell you a little bit about us. We are a nonprofit organization whose mission is to foster diverse educational and social programs for seniors of all ages. Senior Matters collaborates with agencies, organizations, and services to bring a wide variety of happenings of interest to our community. Our sponsored programs and happenings include Tai Chi, Art Bridge, we have an Alzheimer's support group, and the Roaring Fork Enrichment Program, formerly the Roaring Fork Brain Train, the Roaring Fork Valley's only program to support those with early memory loss and give respite to their care partners. That's part of what we do. You know, our organization, Senior Matters, is 10 years old. And we have been building our support with volunteers. Our board is comprised of volunteers. Our rodeo is comprised of volunteers. Everything we do is on a volunteer basis. And I'm proud to be associated with Senior Matters. Speaking of Senior Matters, I do get emails. And sometimes how did I get this email? Who is this person that wants to connect with me? And in response to one of my emails, it was from a lovely young lady, Angela Barbazon. She's a publicist with JKS Communication, and she sent me an email wondering if I would be interested in reading a new book that had just been published and was out there for us to read. And I said, of course. Well, I got the book, and believe it or not, I'm not a reader. I wasn't too sure what I was getting into, but what I knew I was going to do was read the book and then interview the author. And that's what we're doing today. I have on the line, waiting to talk with us, Mike Nemeth. And Mike Nemeth is the author of The Undiscovered Country. And it's about family drama and deceit that takes center stage. And Nemeth tells the story of Randall Marks, a wrongfully convicted felon on parole trying to cope with his mother's death and his family's moral corruption and hidden motives. In an effort to protect the family's matriarch from his selfless siblings and negligent caregivers, the ever-crafty Randall discovers the truths of his own life, forced to the sidelines due to society expectations of his mother's time. You know, he did get the call to come. His mother was dying. Mike is a novelist. He is a blogger. He is a former AAU basketball coach and retired information technology executive. The Undiscovered Country is the sequel to Defiled, a crime fiction thriller, which became a best-selling book on Amazon. Mike is calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. Mike, are you there?
I am, Diane. How are you?
I am doing well. I am doing well. You know, please talk to us about The Undiscovered Country. And please talk to us about why. What was it that brought you to write The Undiscovered Country?
My mother went through a very similar situation to Randall's mother. Suffered a heart attack, became hospitalized, very poor prognosis for her recovery. And in my mother's case, she fought through all of the bad situations. She was able to get out of the hospital, go through rehabilitation, and restore herself to an independent life, living alone at the age of, I think she was about 86 at the time, and a very independent woman. And that circumstance had a really tremendous effect on me in a couple of ways. One, I learned a lot more about hospitals, medicine, and what it means to be at the brink of death than I had ever wanted to learn. And I was shocked a little bit by all of it, quite frankly. I was shocked by how things actually work in the hospital, how doctors think, how patients endure that circumstance, how they think as they feel like they're on God's doorstep, so to speak. And so it had a tremendous effect on me in that way. And so I made up a story that has the same sort of technical detail to it. Randall's mother suffers a heart attack, and her prognosis is very negative. But I used that centerpiece as a way to talk about how we should really relate to the critically ill, how we should relate to our elders, how we should respect their wishes. In the book, the children have a lot to say about what's going to happen to mom. The doctors have a lot to say about what's going to happen to mom. And the one person who isn't listened to is the patient herself, mom. Mom has her own ideas, and she's a very feisty lady, and she has her own ideas about how she wants her last days to go. She's very concerned about her reputation and also about what she's going to leave behind for her children and what her memory will be if she should pass away. And so that really makes the story go forward. But I wrote it because there are so many difficult decisions that we're going to face. There are so many difficult emotions that are going to overwhelm us. And I wanted to have those things heard.
You know, having and still working in the health field and having been around and working in healthcare facilities, I know what you're talking about. In reading the book, Randall was so strong and supportive of her needs. He wasn't one who was overactive. He was a good advocate. And I walked with him through all the steps that he was going through with her health care, questioning the doctors, making sure that her health care was appropriate and correct. I also saw the dynamics of the family that came into the presence of her room and the history that Randall brought forth. And one thing that you emphasize here is the Southern culture and how important it was for her to maintain her status even as she was dying.
Yes, actually, all Randall's mom really wanted was to die with dignity, and a part of that dignity was to be able to keep secrets about herself and about her life. She had secrets that she didn't particularly want her children to know. They weren't they weren't the sort of secrets which today would raise a lot of eyebrows, quite frankly, in our modern times. But this is a woman who lived at a time when certain things were just looked down upon. And Southerners are particularly concerned about how other people view them. I think Southerners have a special sensitivity to what other people think about them and about protecting their reputation. So, and she's very much like that, and she's very feisty.
She is.
But as Randall yeah, I'm sorry, Diane. Go ahead.
No, she is feisty. It doesn't mean because she's lying down, she's not down for the count. She has her voice, you know, and I love that part of how you gave that to her. You know, she was intriguing and devious and beautiful.
Yes, yes. And she had been, I think, you know, when we look at an elderly person, we forget that at one point in time, they were 25, they were beautiful, they were full of life, they were just like us, and we overlook that because that's not their condition anymore. And I think too often we also overlook the wisdom of their years, you know, the experiences that they had, what they learned. Are all things we're all going to end up relearning if we don't listen to them and believe what they're telling us?
You know, today in my work environment, I work one-to-one with seniors. And seniors anywhere from 65 to 100. And they're in a healthcare facility. And I listen because they do have something to say. And I have found that it allows me to be more comfortable with myself and comfortable with them because I listen to them and I can hear what they're saying. So he was listening to Mom.
And he was doing a bit more than that, unfortunately. as Randall begins to try to take over control of her affairs, he learns that his brother and his sister have been taking advantage of her in various ways. But as he does so, he begins to uncover some of the secrets his mother really wanted to keep secret. And they go back and forth with each other a fair amount in the book, as he's probing and she's hiding, and eventually he uncovers probably the biggest secret of all. But his mother has the last laugh and actually takes that secret with her to her grave.
Ah, see, you're just opening up the book cover for people out there to read. This is, you know, I was a little bit hesitant at first. I didn't know what I could bring to the book, get from the book, what I could convey to our community out there. And having you on is what's most important, because you, as the author, you wrote the book. You know what the message is. And I interpret some of your words to mean one thing and you mean another thing. But it's all, you know, it's all about the dynamics of the family. You have some pretty good characters in there, some very interesting people. But besides this book and building your characters, I think that, I mean, I can imagine as an author, I want a mystery, and I want to write a murder, and I want to have a beginning that's easy and an ending that's, I told you so. But building the characters, giving them the dialogue, giving them the scene settings, that's incredible. What brought you to this part of your life to be an author, to write a book of this magnitude?
Well, I have always actually probably wanted to be an author. I grew up in an environment where books were really important. I read a lot as a very young person. I probably read books I shouldn't have been reading yet as a young person. And so I've always admired authors. And the truth is that authors only learn their craft by reading other authors. And so over a long stretch of my lifetime, I did just a tremendous amount of reading. I spent a lot of time on airplanes, and so I was able to read a lot in my business career. But I always wanted to be an author, and my excuse for not writing something was always, the life event of the moment that was right in front of me, whether it was marriage or having children or doing well in my business career or what have you. And so finally, I retired, and then I said, okay, you can only play so many rounds of golf a week. Let's see if we can actually write a book. And that first book was the one you mentioned, Defiled.
Mm-hmm.
It's a legal thriller, but it's told from the perspective of the person who ends up being on trial, as opposed to, the John Grisham approach is certainly to make, a lawyer the lead character. We have other books where a judge might be the lead character. In Defiled, it's the defendant who's the lead character, and you see everything from his point of view in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that first book was just really to prove to myself that after reading enough books and knowing, how a novel should be constructed, could I actually do it?
And you did it with this one. You
and then I couldn't stop.
Something I want to convey to our listeners is where there is so much medical discovery that you went searching. You confronted doctors, you checked on medication, you did things to uncover what's going on with your mom. It was almost as if you were being discounted by the professional people that were in charge of her care. And that was something that you opened up the door to in this book. You, as you say, Randall battled dispassionate doctors who were reluctant to waste resources on a terminal patient. See there. And issues that we're all facing with health care, seniors, of course, is insurance coverage. That wasn't even addressed in here also. I mean, it was done easily. It just flowed with how you were investigating, because that's what Randall did, investigated the status of his mother, what was going on in her life, his brother, the wife, what happened to all the financial means that she had, where did the money go?
Yeah, what I learned when my mother was hospitalized is that ultimately the patient is the person responsible for their treatment and their recovery. The patient has to be aware of what's going on, has to question what's happening, has to really take control and be sure that what is happening is what they want to have happen, and frankly, that mistakes aren't being made. In my mother's case, there was a mix-up in medication at one point, and we thought we were going to lose her, and it was really incumbent upon us after that to track exactly what she was getting. She had a whole array of doctors, and frankly, they didn't all know what one another was doing, and they weren't even familiar with the medicines in another part of the hospital practice.
This is incredible. this is what's in
really
the book.
True.
I know it. That's why I'm saying it's incredible. I read it in the book, and now you're telling me the same thing happened in reality with your mom. Oh, my goodness.
It really, it really did. The heart surgeon wasn't familiar with the drugs that were being given to her by a different doctor. He literally just said, I don't know what that is. Well, do you know if it's in conflict with what you're prescribing? No, not really. So you have to be really, really, really careful. And I have to give credit to my brother as well. He and I both, we did 24 hours around the clock with my mother, and we both kept copious notes to make sure that we had the information for each doctor who came through the door and thought they were going to do something.
It's fabulous. I shouldn't say fabulous. I'm just so impressed that, again, back to the word advocate, you were advocates for your mom. The one thing that's interesting, too, is how you brought health information to reality. You did some research about medications, health care, the doctors involved, the surgeons, and you made it clear what was going on after you discovered what was going on. You know, that sounds convoluted,
It was actually a tricky part of the book, Diane, or a tricky part of the writing, I guess, because I wanted to be sure I was accurate in talking about the medical procedures or medicines or what have you. But on the other hand, I didn't want to turn it into a medical textbook. I didn't want people to feel
lost.
Like they were just being, I didn't want people to be inundated with medical terminology. So I had to sort of strike a balance. And I credit my editor for being very helpful in that regard as well. She's actually a person who knew very little about the medical stuff that was going on in the book. And so she was actually a good sounding board, you know, as a reader. Are you getting overwhelmed, or do you actually understand what's happening?
Yeah. You have brought to attention something that's really important for listening audience. I've talked about it. They know about it. But we're talking about the power of attorney and another important piece of paper, the medical durable. So, you know, in your book, all of these things were challenged with your mom, your character. You know, she needed to be protected with the legal documents. You needed to protect her with how you were uncovering situations going on in her health care and the dynamics of the family and the future of their inheritance. Oh, my goodness. Luke is giving me the high sign. He say, Diane, you've got a minute to go. Mike,
okay.
Your book,
yes, ma'am.
The Undiscovered Country, a novel by Mike Nemeth, in bookstores and also on Amazon, an easy way to get it. A precise, elaborate tale that just shows how menacing a family's history can be. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Diane, and thanks everyone for listening.
You're very welcome. This is Diane Johnson for Senior Matters. Thank you for joining us today.